Welcome all to our worship service here this Lord's Day in Karatz. Welcome those who are visiting with us today, and hello to others who will be listening later on, whether by CD or via the church website. I may sound a little bit different today. I have a bit of a cold on me, so apologies for that. It is nothing worse than a cold. I've been doing all the lateral flow tests and everything's been negative. The announcements for this week, then this evening, we have our prayer time prior to the evening service. That's at 7:10 here in the church building, and then the evening service at 7:30. On the announcement sheet, it says that the April Covenanter Witness is available today. It probably wasn't available when you came in, but they are there now, so this is what it looks like. April issue of the Covenanter Witness, and there's a free copy for each household. So please pick those up on the way out after the service. Then the days ahead: Monday evening at 8:00 in the church hall, the Board of Deacons meets. Tuesday evening, midweek prayer meeting in the church hall, and that's at 8:00. Then next Lord's Day, there's no Sabbath school classes next week or the week after. Morning service at 12 noon, prayer time at 7:10, and evening worship at 7:30. And next Lord's Day, the visiting preacher will be my nephew, Mr. Stephen Fallows from the Gateway Church. Reminder of the summer camps, the RP summer camps. The applications are now available from the RP website. And 50% of the costs will be covered for young folk from our church who are still in education and are attending our church camps. Then an invitation from the Ballylagan ladies for this Wednesday, the 13th, and the following two Wednesdays. Then they're having a walk, talk, and eat evenings, 7:30. Each evening there's a walk, and then there's a supper, and then a testimony by one of the ladies in the congregation who work in the health service. Then the Women's Conference, the Women's Fellowship, the Day Conference, that's coming up on Saturday, the 23rd of April. It's being done via Zoom, and some of the congregations in the Northern Presbytery are doing that in their church hall, and so our ladies are invited to join with the Dervik ladies. The Dervik ladies will have the speaker up on the big screen, and you'll be able to meet with a few other folk and watch and listen. And there's two talks. Topic is Lessons from Ladies in the Bible. Speaker is Vi Dawson. First one is from 10 to 11, and then there's a coffee break. And then the second session is 11:30 to 12:30. If you're not able or not wanting to join in Dervik, and you're able to do so from home, I've put the information for joining the Zoom meeting there on the announcement sheet. Then on the same day, but later in the day, the Northern Presbytery CY have a volleyball competition that's been held at Ballyclabber RP Church, Saturday, 23rd of April. It's in the evening from 7 to 9, from year 8 upwards, mostly outside if the weather's suitable, and everyone's invited to come along. You don't need to be any good at volleyball. Then something else that's on the table on the way in today is a letter from Anna Coulter, now of Enniskillen RP Church. And Anna, who was formerly here in Karatz, she's leading an RP mission team to Cyprus in the summer. And there's a letter that gives a bit of information about that, and there's also the opportunity to give something to help with the cost. It costs about £2,000 for her, so she's trying to raise that from various sources. So if you want to give anything towards that, you could put it in an envelope and put it in the offering plate and mark it Anna Coulter. This is a preliminary letter. There'll be a further one which will give more information probably in about a month's time. So those are the announcements. We extend our sympathy as a congregation to all of the Hannah connection following the death of Tom Hannah during the week. Tom died on Wednesday, and the funeral took place on Friday, and Tom had moved back from England and was just in these parts for 9.5 weeks before he died. And then Friday evening, I'll mention a wee bit about Friday evening, the service of ordination and installation for Paul Wallace in our Brady congregation. Well, those are the announcements. Then we'll come to worship God. We do so singing praise to him. And we turn to Psalm 30. We sing part of Psalm 30, the four stanzas on page 54 of our psalm book. So that's stanzas 3-6 of Psalm 30. We use the tune Clarksville, number 220. Psalm 30 at stanza 3. Speaking of God, it says, "Soon is his anger past, life in his favor lies. Tears for a night may last, at morn will joy arise." And God is the God who turns our mourning and sorrow and sadness into joy. And the last stanza says, "My mourning you for me have into dancing turned. From sackcloth you've me freed, with gladness me adorned. Not silent then, I'll praise you, Lord, give thanks forever to my God." And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one who can turn lives around completely and utterly. He can take away the tears and give the joy, and it's a joy that lasts forever. And so we sing his praise then from Psalm 30, stanzas 3-6, the tune Clarksville 220. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us all worship God. We speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come to you in worship today, we give thanks that you're the God who can change everything in our lives. You're the one who can make all things new. You're the one who can take away the tears and that you can give a joy, an everlasting joy. And we give thanks, O Lord, for the salvation that you supply in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior and that he is the one who saves to the uttermost. We pray for your help now as we seek to worship you today. We pray that you help us as we look to the scriptures and think of the things that Jesus said and did when he was in this world. We ask that you will use those things for good in our thoughts and in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you will forgive us our sins. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, not to believe in an easy forgiveness, but we pray that we will believe that there is forgiveness and that it is found in Jesus Christ. We pray for those not able to gather with us today. We pray for your presence with them in the places where they are. And Lord, we pray that you will make your word lodge in their hearts and be a help to them today. Hear us now, be among us, and work among us by your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now let us read from God's word. If you'll turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke. And we read in chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel. Chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke in our church Bible. The page number is 909. And we'll be reading from verse 12. And just over the page then, we continue on to verse 26. Luke chapter 5, and reading from verse 12, let us hear the word of God. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. and so reads God's own true word. I just want to say a few words to the children and indeed to the whole congregation. The last two Friday nights, I have been to services where there's been a new minister has been ordained and installed. And I was saying last week about John Coulter having started his ministry in Drimbolgan. John, who as a boy sat here in Carratt's church. Well, then on Friday night past, it was the ordination and installation of Paul Wallace in Brady. And Paul is the 16th minister of our Brady congregation, which was my mother's home church. And three of the ministers that have served in the past in Brady, RP Church, came from Kilrats. Charles Toland was the son of the minister here in Kilrats, and he became minister in Brady in 1866. And then the next minister in Brady also came from Kilrats, and his name was Archibald Holmes in 1887. And then in 1919, the third minister from Kilrats, third man who had grown up in Kilrats, went to Brady to be their minister, and his name was Tom Hanna. And it was strange that on that Friday, when Paul Wallace was being ordained in that Brady congregation, there was another Tom Hanna who was being buried here at Kilrats. And Paul Wallace, you young folk will remember that he was here for a couple of months back in 2019 at the end of his first year at the Theological College. He did his 2 months placement here in Kilrats, May and June 2019. And then in the month of July, he preached several times when I was on holidays. And he has preached here several times since, most recently the 13th of March. And Paul was here with his wife and with his children. And during that time of placement, the whole Wallace family were here every Sabbath day, and they were here at other events also. And some of you young folk had some of the Wallace children in your Sabbath school class for those 2 months, whether it was Craig or Alexander or Heidi or Joel. And so today we'll be remembering in our prayers Reverend Paul Wallace, as even now he'll be leading his first worship service as the minister of Brady RP Church. And I encourage you young folk to pray for the Wallace children, because this is a big change in their lives, particularly for the younger ones. Craig will be continuing on in his present school for a wee while yet, and he'll finish up in his present school this year, and then after the summer break, he'll be moving to a new school. Alexander is at the Tech at the minute, and he'll be finishing up where he is now. And then once this year's classes are finished, then he'll move to a different Tech next year. So you can pray for them and their changes. And then Heidi is studying nursing, so she's mostly be away from her new home. And Joel is in is at university, and he's in his placement year, his year out in industry at the minute. And pray for them as they move. They've lived in a hovel for a long time, and now their home base will be in a different place. And so you can remember them in your prayers. And at the service on Friday night, there's always a photograph of the minister on the front page of the order of service. But on this occasion, there was a photograph of the whole family, and right in the middle of it is their dog Finn. So it was being said that this is probably the first time that a dog has appeared on an order of service at an ordination. So I did put a copy of this on the notice board, and you can have a look at that if you want to. So we remember the Wallace family then in our prayers, and we'll come to prayer now. Remember also the students at the Theological College. They have exams on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. Remember Anne Robinson in our prayers. Anne had her surgery in Galway on Friday. I heard from her this morning. She was due to be discharged today. And so pray for Anne and the journey home when that comes. We remember Jean Kennedy also. Jean's due to be moving, if all's well, moving on Tuesday from the hospital to St. James's Lodge nursing home in Ballymoney. Well, these and other things we'll bring before God in prayer. So we come now to prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we praise you for your constant work of building your church. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you're always bringing about. And we praise you, Lord, for a new beginning today for the congregation of Brady. We thank you for the perseverance that they've shown after having two calls declined. We thank you that the third call that they made out was successful. We give thanks that the Wallace family were able to move just recently, and that they're now based there in the manse at Brady. We pray for your blessing upon Paul as he enters into the ministry there. We pray that you will do great things and that church will be built up, and that there'll be opportunities in the wider area in preaching the gospel and serving you. And we pray, Lord, for Elaine, that you'll help her in this change that's come into her life. We pray for the children, for Joel and Heidi and Alexander and Craig. And we pray, Lord, that you help them as they get to know the folk in the Brady congregation, and as they adjust to having a new place that will be their base. And we pray for Alexander and Craig as they finish up where they're presently studying, and as they'll move and be with a whole different bunch of folk. We pray that that will work out well for them, and that you would provide friends for them in their new situations after the summer. Remember Paul Flynn, pray for him as soon he'll be available for a call. And we pray, Lord, that you would help him in these days as he waits to see what may happen. We pray, O Lord, for the students training for ministry, help them in the exams they have over the next few days. And we pray that you help them to keep going and be with them throughout that exam period. We ask, Lord, for your comfort and help for the Hannah family circle in the death of Tom. And we give thanks, Lord, for the times when he worshipped here in Karatz. We thank you, Lord, for these recent weeks of the final weeks of his life. And we thank you for the fact that his family were able to see him and able to speak with him. And just pray, Lord, for that loss that is felt. And pray, Lord, for all that has to be sorted and gone through, that you would provide what's needed in that process. We remember Jean Kennedy. We pray for Jean, O Lord. We ask for her that you'll be with her as she'll be moving soon to the nursing home. And we give thanks that Alan will be able to visit Jean again. And pray, O Lord, that you would help those who will be looking after Jean, that she'll get good care there. We pray for Anne. I give thanks that her surgery went ahead. We pray for her, O Lord, as she recovers after that. And we pray that you'll be with her in that journey back from Galway. We pray that you will guard and keep her and just be with her in these days to come. Remember Linda Sharp. Pray for her, O Lord, and her health situation. We pray for Graham as he looks after her. And we ask, Lord, for your mercies and your strength there in the difficulties of that situation. We give thanks for the school holidays, for the break that the children and the teachers have, and we pray that all will benefit from that time. Lord in heaven, we pray for the work of our church across in Stranraer. We pray for the GO team that will be working there in these days. We pray for the public meeting that Trevor Wills is to speak at. We pray that there will be many that will come along to that, and that as they would hear his testimony and how you delivered him from addiction to drugs, how you saved him and turned his life around, we pray that others will be given hope And we pray that you would do a good work there. We continue to remember the land of Ukraine, and we pray, O Lord, for your mercies there, that that soon this time of invasion will come to an end. And we pray, O Lord, for all the scattered people, scattered in different ways and in different places. And we pray, Lord, for your mercies, that people will receive help, and they'll not fall into situations where they'll be exploited and abused. And Lord, we pray that you would bring good out of all of this, and that the cause of the gospel might be strengthened, and that you would bring about the good that you intend in spite of the evil that man intends. Lord, hear our prayers. Use your word, O Lord, for our good this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us turn again now to God's word as we read it there in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5, and I want to speak today on these verses from verse 12 through to verse 26. Can you remember the last time you heard someone say, "A strange thing happened today"? Or I wonder, can you remember the last time that you said something along those lines? What was that strange thing that happened? Strange things don't happen very often. That's why we call them strange. It wasn't like that, however, during the years of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of our scripture reading today, in verse 26 of Luke chapter 5, people are saying, "We have seen strange things today." And let's look at those strange things. Those remarkable things, those extraordinary things that happened in the days of Jesus' public ministry. I want to speak, first of all, about a strange encounter. And in verses 12 and 13, we're told about a strange encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had, and about the strange way in which he handled that encounter. We're told that Jesus was in a certain city, and there he met a man who shouldn't have been there at all by right, because he was a leper. He was a man who was suffering from leprosy, and lepers weren't allowed into cities. They weren't allowed into towns and into villages. They had to stay outside. But this man was in the city. And it wasn't just that this man had a mild form of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. This was a man who was very seriously ill. He was a man who was falling apart on the outside, and he was rotting away on the inside. And as well as the physical suffering that came with leprosy, there was the emotional and psychological suffering of having to isolate from normal life and from normal society. The only people that a man with leprosy could mix with was other people with leprosy. And if there weren't any other people with leprosy, well, then there was nobody that he could mix with. And that isolation, that separation, that constant quarantine was a very, very sore trial. And so here is a man with a serious health condition, a man who's forced to live in quarantine. And it all seems to have been just too much for him. And he broke the rules and he came into the city. And perhaps he had heard that Jesus was in the city. And he believed that man, Jesus, could heal him. And so he came into the city and he came and found Jesus and sought him out. So what did Jesus do? Did Jesus remind the man of the regulations? Did Jesus steer well clear of that man because he had leprosy? Well, no, he didn't. Because when this man comes, he comes close to Jesus. He falls on his face before Jesus. He implores him and he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus did what would have shocked anyone who would have seen it. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. That's not what people did with lepers. People didn't get close enough to lepers to be able to reach out their hand and touch them. People stayed away from lepers. People avoided lepers. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Now, Jesus didn't need to do that. He was doing that in the process of healing the man. But he could have healed the man without touching him at all. Jesus healed other people without touching them at all. Jesus healed people when he was nowhere near them. But Jesus chose to reach out and touch. The man was full of leprosy. He did it without He reached out and touched him because he wanted the man to feel physical contact. Many people are frustrated in these days because they can't get to see their GP. They could speak to their GP over the phone, but they believe that is not the same thing. Well, Jesus chose to reach out and touch him. Leon Morris comments, "People shunned lepers, and we are safe in saying that nobody but other lepers had touched this man in years." And that touch spoke volumes. And surely it did. That touch must have spoken volumes to that man that was full of leprosy. And the man had said to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was able, and Jesus was willing. And Jesus healed that man, but he healed the man in the way that was best for that man to be healed. And Jesus reached out and touched him. He touched him. And then he spoke just a few words. He said, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And we're told that immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately the leprosy left him. Because when Jesus speaks, whatever he says happens. The man was cured. The man knew in himself that he was cured. He had no doubts. And no one could cure leprosy in those days. But Jesus had just done it. And for us today, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with our sin. Because sin is like spiritual leprosy. Sin also causes us to rot away on the inside and fall apart on the outside. Sin destroys everything in its path. And no one can cure sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cure that Jesus has is instant, and it is lasting. And Jesus is able to cure sin, and Jesus is willing to cure sin. But you have to ask for your sin to be dealt with. You have to go to him, but it's worth it. It was worth it for this man full of leprosy to go to Jesus, because Jesus was able and Jesus was willing, and this man was cured. And he knew that he had been healed. But other people needed to know that he had been healed, because it wouldn't have changed his life if it was just him that had been healed. People would still have stayed well away from him. And so Jesus sends him to the priest. He tells him to make the appropriate offering for his cleansing, and that as a testimony to the priests, he was to do just what Moses commanded in the law. And it was the job of the priest to examine anyone who had leprosy, and the priest could declare that he was unclean, or the priest could declare that he was clean. And the priest would look at this man, he would see there's no leprosy in this man, he is clean. And he would be declared to be clean, and he would be free from leprosy, and he would be free to come back into society. No more isolating, no more quarantine. Come back among the people. What a blessing that would be to that man, living there in all the trauma of isolation, and then being allowed back in. What a blessing. People these days know something of that, but probably nothing like what this man knew. This was a wonderful thing, and it was a testimony to the priests. The priests had never been able to cure anyone of leprosy. All they could say was whether you had leprosy or not. But the priests would look at this man, and they would know what that man had been like. And now they would say, this man doesn't have leprosy. He has been healed. And it was Jesus that had healed him. Jesus had done a strange thing, a remarkable thing. And inevitably, what Jesus had done would be talked about. So, the first thing is a strange encounter. And then the second thing I want to speak about briefly is a strange withdrawal. People did talk about this man who was a leper, but now he wasn't a leper anymore. And verse 15 it says, the result of this was that great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Jesus of their infirmities. And how did Jesus deal with that situation where more and more people were coming to him? Well, he was dealing with them, and he was healing them. But we're told something strange and remarkable about how Jesus handles this situation. There's something strange here, particularly for the kind of age and society that we live in. Verse 16 says, so, with all these people eager to come to him, what did he do? He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I would say to you, that's not the way of our Western 21st century world. In our day, people seek to milk the moment of their fame for all its worth. They'll be all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever else there might be out there, and they'll be glorying in themselves. And Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus forsakes the cities and the acclaim of people, and he goes into the wilderness. He doesn't seek the acclaim of men. He doesn't need it. But he does need to pray. Jesus needed to pray. And Luke's gospel often emphasizes Jesus as a man of prayer. And when everybody wanted Jesus, Jesus went away and he prayed. Dale Ralph Davis writes, "Doesn't it feel wonderful to be liked and wanted?" Jesus, knowing the danger of such moments, went off by himself and gave himself to private prayer. And he warns that success can destroy, and that what may seem the best moments in our Christian experience may actually be the most dangerous. When we think we are strong, when we think we can do things, that's when we're weak. And Jesus often withdrew. He often withdrew in order to pray. And in this, Jesus shows us the right way. This is what we need to do. We need to often withdraw so that we can pray to Almighty God. And that's where we'll find strength. We don't need to be self-publicists telling everybody what we're doing now and what we're going to do next. We need to withdraw in order to pray. Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Do you often withdraw from the busyness of life? Do you often just say, "Well, I'm just going to leave it and I'm going to pray"? That's what Jesus did. That's the way that he shows us. It's not the 21st century way, but it is the Jesus way. Do you want to be a child of your time, or do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you want everyone else to know what you're doing and what you're thinking, or do you want to talk to your Father in heaven? Do you have a Father in heaven to talk to? That's what prayer is. Jesus wanted to talk to his Father. Didn't want people saying nice things about him, telling him how wonderful he was. Wanted to talk to his Father. So a strange encounter, and then a strange withdrawal. And then in the third place, I want to speak about a strange assembly. Next in Luke's account, from verse 17 through to verse 26, we have another strange and remarkable act of the Lord Jesus. It's something that's reported in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Mark, and I've preached on it from Mark's Gospel quite a long time ago. It is this time when a man who is paralyzed is lowered through the roof in the house where Jesus was teaching. His friends lower him down through an opening in the roof so that the man can be close to Jesus and that Jesus will give attention to their friend. And we're told that on this occasion, Jesus was being watched. He was being watched very closely. He was being listened to very closely. And among those who were in the house where Jesus was teaching were Pharisees and teachers of the law. And they had come out of every town of Galilee, from far away in Judea, and from far away in Jerusalem itself. And those people were there not just to hear for their own sake, but they were there to report back to the people that had sent them to be there. And they were going to bring back a report as to what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was doing. It was like a situation where if you're training to be a teacher, the tutor is sent out And the tutor is there at the back of the class, and she's watching, and she's listening, and she's making notes. And everything that you say and everything that you do is being assessed. Well, that's how it was for Jesus that day. And how did Jesus react? How did he react in the face of that scrutiny? Did he make sure that he didn't say anything that was going to rock the boat in any way at all? Did he make sure that he didn't get himself into any kind of trouble? Did Jesus play it safe? Well, no, he didn't. Because our Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to hide his light under a bushel. Jesus let them have it. He let them hear the kind of things he was saying. He let them see the kind of things he was doing. He made sure that they had something to go back and report upon. And I want to comment on three things that we see about Jesus in this incident. First of all, we see that he sees. In verse 20, we're told regarding those men who lowered their friend through the roof, and indeed about the man himself. We're told that when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus sees. Jesus was able to rightly interpret what was going on here. This wasn't some superstitious act that was taking place. Jesus saw their faith. Jesus knows faith when Jesus sees faith. He makes no mistakes. He knows what real faith is, and he knows what pretend faith is. You can't fool Jesus. He sees. He knows the reality of your thoughts. And we're told, in regard to the scribes and the Pharisees, we're told that Jesus perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. And what were they thinking? Well, their thoughts were telling them that the man who was saying to another man that his sins were forgiven, that man was speaking blasphemies, because it's only God who can forgive sins. That's what they were thinking. And Jesus perceived their thoughts. Jesus sees, perceives, he knows. Jesus Christ knows what you think of him. He knows what I think of him. If we think well of him, he knows it. He sees it. If we think badly of him, if we think little of him, if we resent him, he knows it. He perceives it. There's no point being anything other than honest with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the story. He knows what the truth is with you. He knows if you have faith in him or if you don't. There's no point pretending. Don't live a lie. Jesus sees. Jesus perceives. Go to him in honesty. Jesus sees. Jesus forgives then also. The first thing that Jesus does for this man who's lying paralyzed doesn't deal with his paralysis, but he forgives his sins. Forgiveness was this man's greatest need. Forgiveness was more important than mobility. Sometimes we think too much about our health and the things we can't do, but it's our sin that's our big problem. And Jesus forgave the man's sins. Verse 20, he says, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the ears of the Jewish law experts were very active at that point. And they were right to take note of, what is this man saying? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They rightly thought to themselves. And they are right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus was God. Jesus was God the Son. Now that's not the words that he normally used to describe himself. Jesus' favorite way of referring to himself was that he called himself the Son of Man. And verse 24, he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." And then he heals the paralyzed man. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, the Son of Man. And that's a term used by the prophet Daniel in Daniel 7, verse 13. It's used of the Messiah. The Son of Man, spoken of there in Daniel 7. It says of him in verse 14, Daniel 7, 14, "Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." And Jesus says, "That's me. I am the Son of Man. And I forgive. I forgive this man's sins." And Jesus could do that. I can't do that. I can't forgive my sins. I can't forgive your sins. But Jesus can. And with him, there is forgiveness. And with forgiveness comes peace with God. Do you know your sins to be forgiven? If you desire forgiveness, you will find it in Jesus Christ if you go to him. The sin of man can be forgiven only by the Son of Man. Jesus forgives, and that's what he does for this man. First thing he does, he forgives. So we see that Jesus sees, that Jesus forgives, and then we see also that Jesus heals. Now, if he hadn't actually healed this man, this would have been a wonderful, wonderful day in that man's life. It would have been a great, great blessing for that man to have been brought to Jesus. If he had had his sins forgiven and nothing else, that would have been the most wonderful of days. That would have lived with him forever and ever, for all eternity. But he got more than that. He was healed as well. And Jesus heals this man simply by speaking the word to him. There's no touch here. Doesn't need to touch this man. Jesus just speaks the word. Jesus speaks the word and the man is healed to show that all he has to do is speak the word and the sins are forgiven. And people were meant to draw that connection. It's as easy for Jesus to forgive sin as it is for Jesus to heal a paralyzed man. For us, it's impossible. For Jesus, this is what Jesus does. He heals him by speaking to him. Verse 24, "He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your home.'" And what happened? Verse 25, "Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God." And some unbelieving medical people will tell me, "Well, that's not possible. That could not have happened." Because we know what happens when a person is confined to bed for a few weeks and they lose the strength in their legs. And it's so quickly that your body musculature deteriorates and you lose your strength. And here's a paralyzed man. For how many years this man has been unable to walk at all. How could he just get up and walk home? Ridiculous. And that's how great a miracle it was. Because Jesus' healing is a healing that goes throughout the man's body, and he puts everything right. Everything that's been wrong is put right. And the man doesn't need to wait around for a while and do a few gentle exercises and get himself slowly back into things. He picks up his bed and he walks home, rejoicing. And his healing is complete, and it's all by the spoken word of Jesus. And God is saying to us, here is the Savior that we need. All he has to do is speak the word, and all things are made new. And no wonder it says, they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. These were strange things. Nobody could explain these things away. And strange things happened wherever Jesus went. Remarkable things happened where Jesus was. Extraordinary things happened. They were strange things to others, but they weren't strange to Jesus. They just came naturally to him, because he was the Son of Man. And what was impossible for others was routine for Jesus. Healing lepers, shunning the acclaim of the public, forgiving sins, seeing into people's hearts, and healing the paralyzed. Jesus took these things in his stride, but he had been praying and drawing strength from his Father in heaven. And strange things happened when Jesus was around. And something very strange will need to happen if people like us are to be with Almighty God in heaven. Something very strange will have to happen if sinners like us are going to be accepted by a holy God. And it's only with Jesus that such strange things do happen. Strange things at the words of our Lord and Savior. Amen. We sing to his praise from Psalm 40. We sing the first six stanzas of the psalm, and we use the tune Belmont, number 52. A familiar picture we have of the psalmist, who is in a pit. He's in a hopeless situation in a pit, and he cries to the Lord, and the Lord pulls him from the pit and sets his feet upon a rock. The Lord puts a new song in his mouth, and it's all the Lord's doing. It's the Lord who does wonders. It's the Lord who shows gracious thoughts. There's no one that can compare with him. And therefore, he is the one who is to be spoken of, and who is to be praised. And we can't do that enough. So many are the wonderful things that he does, and he is the Lord of salvation. There is no hope for us of getting out of the pit, our own pit, but the Lord pulls us from the pit and sets our feet upon the rock that is Christ himself. Psalm 40. Verse 6 stanzas, the tune Belmont 52, we stand to sing and remain standing then for the benediction. Thank you. receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.